Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, this is Stacey Gatsoulias, the host of Locked On Yankees. Welcome to the show. It is Thursday, September 16th. Is it September 16th? It is. Wow, amazing. And the Yankees beat the Orioles last night, so we're going to talk about that on the show today. We're going to talk about how that could have been a very frustrating loss for the Yankees, but miraculously turned into an exciting win. I'll have the recap. We'll talk about specific performances. We'll preview tonight's matchup and more. But first, you can get this podcast on YouTube. You can get it wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's Odyssey, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher. You can even tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. You can get us everywhere. So yeah, let's discuss last night, because that could have been bad. I was all ready to have an epic rant prepared to go for today's show after Chad Green gave up that home run in the eighth inning. I was livid because I think we all knew that if Boone left Chad Green in too long, he would screw up. The fact that he screwed up with two outs and two strikes makes it even more frustrating. The fact that it was Austin Hayes' second home run of the game, he was basically Baltimore's offense the entire night. The fact that the Yankees had chances to score more runs and couldn't do it. That's what was worrying me most of the night. I didn't think two would be enough. I was right. Thankfully, Brett Gardner helped. But what also didn't help, it wasn't just Chad Green giving up the home run. It was obviously Gleyber Torres not throwing to second on that ball that he dropped, that he could have gotten the lead runner out. And then, of course, once Green gave up the home run, that didn't really matter, but that set everything up. Yeah, that could have been really bad. Because both the Red Sox and the Blue Jays won. Blue Jays beat the Rays earlier in the day. They 6-3. The Red Sox were playing the Mariners and beat them 9-4. And that was a game that went to extra innings. It was tied 3-3 going into the 10th. And the Red Sox just scored a bunch. The Mariners were only able to score one. So the Yankees, Red Sox, and Toronto are still there at the top of the wild card. The A's won last night, so they're ahead of Seattle. They're still enough behind the Yankees, Red Sox, and Blue Jays for it to be okay for the Yankees, Red Sox, and Blue Jays to not worry about the A's just yet. But yet, last night could have been an absolute disaster for the Yankees, but it wasn't. So let's get into it. Nestor Cortez. If you're going to talk about people who should be the MVP of the 2021 season for the Yankees, Nestor Cortez is up there. This man is just, you see him perform and you see him pitch and you can't figure out how he's doing it. He doesn't throw hard at all. He's an old school guy compared to all the guys that are throwing gas now in baseball. And it's a joy to watch him. And I get it, it's the Orioles, but they do have some good hitters on that team. And he made a lot of those guys look silly. So he struck out 11 Orioles. I mean, unbelievable. And he's the sixth Yankees starter to do that this season, which is the first time that's happened in franchise history. Gerrit Cole's done it a bunch of times. Jameson Taillon did it. Corey Kluber did it. Jordan Montgomery did it. Who am I missing? Jameson Taillon, Jordan Montgomery, Jameson Taillon, Corey Kluber, Domingo Herman, Gerrit Cole, now Nestor Cortez. It's crazy. Oh, and the Yankees secured their 29th winning season in a row, which is still not a record because the 1926 to 1964 Yankees set that record for being a winning team for that whole entire time. So yeah, that's also pretty cool with the Yankees to do. So let's talk about the offense briefly. I'll go back into Cortez's performance because just wow. It was a game they needed. I know that the other guys on the team, they love Cortez. They love what he's doing for them. They all wear that nasty Nestor t-shirt. He was wearing it during his post-game presser, which I thought was really funny. And the Yankees were able to win last night with the top of the lineup going 1-for-18, the top four. Stanton had the only hit. LeMahieu was 0-for-5. Judge was 0-for-5. Rizzo was 0-for-4. Stanton was 1-for-4. Gleyber Torres had two hits. Brett Gardner was the hero of the game. He had three hits. Two runs batted in. Gio Urshela had two runs batted in. He hit that two-run home run. But yeah, the top of the lineup, it's kind of rare. If they're not hitting, the Yankees usually aren't winning, but Brett Gardner picked things up for them. Now, granted, Gary Sanchez was 0-for-4, but there were two balls that he hit really hard. Cedric Mullins robbed him of a home run, that pain in the ass, and Gutierrez at third robbed him of probably a double down the left field line. So he was hitting the ball well, just, you know, at people. And that also happened to a few of the guys. Judge hit two balls right at fielders. They had him played perfectly. Rizzo, same thing, hitting into the shift. LeMahieu, the same thing. So they were making contact a lot of the time, although LeMahieu and Judge had two strikeouts each. But overall, the Yankees only struck out six times last night. So, you know, it wasn't like they were flailing away. They were making contact. They just weren't making good contact. So they were 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. They left seven on base. What are you going to do? But they won. That's the most important thing. And let's look at Nestor Cortez. This man, what he's doing. 6 1/3 innings, one run on three hits. He gave up one of the home runs to Hayes. Two walks, 11 strikeouts. His ERA on the season is now 2.60. Then, as I said, Green comes in, blows a save. He pitched 1 1/3. So he gave up those two runs on two hits. He had two strikeouts, gave up the one home run. Then Wandy Peralta came in, got the out that they needed. Aroldis Chapman, let's talk about Aroldis Chapman very quickly. It was the first time that he was in a game for the third night in a row since 2018. And he ended the game on 8 pitches. Now, granted, McKenna helped him out in the first at bat because he popped up on the first pitch. But I was slightly worried about Aroldis Chapman coming in on his third day of work. But maybe he needs to pitch more. Maybe it's the opposite with him, because Boone said before the game that maybe Chad Green's problems are that he's being used too much, and that's why he's giving up so many home runs. And maybe Chapman needs to be used more in order to pitch better. That's probably not how it works. Anyway, speaking of working, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, shows, all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV. You can learn more about DirecTV Stream at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So let's... Now, the Yankees didn't get a lot of hits. They only got 7 hits. Baltimore had 6 hits. Baltimore also did make a big error in that ninth inning that helped them score those two runs. And again, this was just, it was needed. Now, what I'm going to question here, and Michael Kay and Kenny Singleton were also questioning it on the broadcast. When Brett Gardner hit that bloop to score Wade and score Gleyber, did Gleyber realize that there weren't two outs? Because he was running like there were two outs, and I wasn't sure if he could really tell that they weren't going to be able to make the catch on that ball because Baltimore had the infield in and it fell into no man's land. But it still feels like Glaber maybe didn't know that there was one out and he could have been nailed if they had caught that ball. It would have been really bad for the Yankees, actually. They could have ended the game there on a double play. So I don't know. I mean, it worked out well for the Yankees. The ball fell in. Both Wade and Glaber were able to score. They went up 4-3, thank goodness, although I wanted more runs because when I saw Chapman warming, I figured, I don't know. I feel bad that I feel that way about Chapman, but do you blame me? Do you blame anyone for feeling that way about Aroldis Chapman? Now, the one thing I will say is someone put up, I think it was Joe's McFly from John Boy. Let me see. I thought he put something. There it is. Okay, found it. This is about Chapman. Talking Yanks actually put this up. They're John Boy production. Aroldis Chapman, last 23 outings dating back to July 4th. 21 and two-third innings, 5 earned runs, 13 hits, 38 strikeouts, 16 walks, a 2.08 ERA. So he hasn't been bad since July 4th. It just feels like he's been bad in the second half, or even not even the second half, from a certain point, because he was unhittable till mid-May, and then he fell apart. But he's quietly getting things together. So now I kind of feel bad that I was worried about Aroldis Chapman. I don't feel bad that I was worried about Chad Green, because Chad Green is having a time. He is just... I think he was up to 16 home runs before last night. Let me just double check that because I want to make sure that, 14. I think the number in the last two seasons is right. He's allowed 32 runs this season and 14 home runs. And the most home runs allowed by a reliever this season. This is from Jeff Quagliata of, yes, he's one of the research guys there. Adam Plutko, no, wait, that's not how you say his name. Plutko, that's it. Of Baltimore has given up 15 home runs. Chad Green and Trevor Stephan of Cleveland have each given up 14. And then three relievers are tied for 12 home runs. And that's, someone jokingly said that Chad Green has now given up 57 home runs. It feels like that, doesn't it? And it's just, he's a good reliever. He is. I mean, like I said, he had 2 outs, 2 strikes. He was ready to get out of the inning. And not only that, he got Mountcastle out on a check swing that was sort of questionable. But, you know, the runner made it to third because of a wild pitch with only 1 out. He settled down, got Mountcastle to strike out. So it looked like the Yankees were going to get out of that inning. And then he just threw a meatball to Hayes. And of course, Hayes deposited it into the right field seats. And Hayes had himself a good night. 2 for 4, 3 runs batted in. The only 3 runs for Baltimore, as I said, he was their offense, basically. He also struck out 2 times. Cedric Mullins struck out once. Mountcastle struck out 3 times last night. Nestor got him also. Santander 2 times, Urias 2 times, McKenna once, Valleca once, Gutierrez, the one who made that really good play at third base on Sanchez that prevented him from getting a double play. He was 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts. And Wins, the catcher. Is he the only one? No. Mullins? Not Mullins. He's the only starter that didn't strike out against the Yankees last night. They had 16 overall. They were only 1 for 4 with runners in scoring position, so the Yankees kept them out of scoring position most of the time. They left 5 on base. So the Yankees had a little bit of trouble against John Means last night. He pitched 5 2/3, gave up 2 runs on 4 hits. He gave up the home run to Urshela. He struck out 4, walked 2. But the Yankees were popping up a lot. As I said, hitting at people, although Gutierrez made that good play. And Cedric Mullins, I mean, he's not even that tall. And he made that play in the outfield look extremely easy. course, my Wi-Fi is down. I was going to look at how tall Cedric Mullins is because he's not very tall, right? I'm getting that information correct. I think he's not that tall. And that's why the play he made was so amazing. I was laughing at the fact that as he made the catch, because he turned his body around to make the catch, that there was someone hanging over the railing to make the catch. But the person doing that was well above the wall and within his right to do that. It wasn't a Yankee Stadium situation where someone was literally in the field of play. So I don't know why this isn't working. Of course it's not working. Oh, there it is. Cedric Mullins. 5'8", 175. He's smaller than me, not weight-wise, but height-wise. He's 5'8". And usually when a baseball player is 5'8", they're really 5'7", or 5'6". I have a friend who goes to spring training, and she joked that Jose Altuve is really like 5'5". That annoying pain in the butt. But Cedric Mullins, briefly, let's talk about him. 29 home runs, 56 runs batted in, batting .299 in 545 at-bats. He's having himself a very good season. And he's relatively young. He's turning 27 on October 1st. Yeah, he's a good player. Can the Yankees get him? We'll be talking about that sort of stuff once the season ends, about who the Yankees should get, who they should avoid in free agency. Like, could they get Marcus Semien? Is there any way that they can get him? Because that would be great. Because Gleyber. We'll talk about that in the next segment, because something's going on with Gleyber Torres. I don't know what it is, but I don't know. It's not good. It is not good. Again, I don't think he knew that there were, I think he thought there were two outs last night when he was running. I really do. Because he was running like there was two outs. Oh, Gleyber, Gleyber, Gleyber. Anyway, it's fall. No, not yet. After this weekend, it's fall. But everyone acts like it's fall because everyone thinks September is fall. But BetOnline is back, and they're better than ever. And all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface and even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, and you can use our promo code LOCKEDON when you get there. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computers, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You all have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money with Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution for your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car could ever need. rockauto.com. I don't have a car. I've never had a car, never had a license. I'm one of those true New Yorkers. I just assumed I'd be living in the city my entire life and have to take the subway and the buses. And I don't know about cars, but if you do, go to Rock Auto. So let's discuss Gleyber Torres. Now, offensively, he's looking a little better lately. You know, he had a couple of hits, but even moving him, he was playing second base last night. They moved him there for a reason. He spoke about it before the game the other night. He's having issues at shortstop. He acknowledges that he's having issues at shortstop. He's acknowledging that he's not playing well and making mistakes and that he'll do whatever he needs to do to help the team. But that could have been a back-breaking mistake by Gleyber Torres last night. Could have cost the Yankees their season. I don't mean to be so dramatic, but it's true. Every game is important now. And if they had lost that game, that could have been catastrophic for them, you know? And I don't know why he didn't throw to second. He's right there. Why would you not throw it to second base and get the lead runner out? Again, it was all canceled out when Chad Green gave up the home run anyway. But you could even see Chad Green bit his glove as if he wanted to scream but didn't. Because you don't want to show up your teammate in that situation, even if you feel like you want to say, what the hell are you doing? You've seen other players do that. But most baseball players know not to do that because they know that there are cameras everywhere and they don't want to show up their own teammate. But Yes got a pretty good shot of Chad Green eating his glove. And you can tell that he was like, oh my God, what on earth just happened? But then again, he screwed himself for giving up that meatball to Austin Hayes. Yeah, so... And then Green, they show him in the dugout, and I feel bad for him because he's not a bad pitcher. He just, I don't know what's going on with him. You know, there were a couple of pitches in, was it the at-bat against Hayes? There was a pitch that he made, and I thought to myself, please don't throw that again. Like when you throw it once and they don't swing at it, you know, when it's down the middle and it's 96 and you're thinking, okay, don't do that again, because if you throw it again, they're going to hit the ball really far. And that seemed to happen with Hayes. So I don't know what's going on with Chad Green. It's not just this season. It was happening last season. Maybe guys are adjusting to him, but it's not always. It's not like he's getting beaten up every time he goes out. It's every few times that he goes out and gives up a home run, and it's a back-breaking home run because of where he pitches in the game. If he came in the fifth inning and gave up a home run, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But he came in the seventh, pitched into the eighth, and even that was a questionable decision by Boone. I didn't feel comfortable with Green being in there for a second inning. But the Yankees bullpen is a little depleted. Some of those guys have been pitching way too much, including Green. And, you know, with Loaisiga out, by the way, they said he's going to be throwing soon, so he hasn't even done that yet. But I believe they said when he first got injured to not expect him to throw right away. They had to give him a couple weeks or 10 days to not even do that. Severino is working his way back, and Herman is working his way back. Herman came in to a minor league game out of the bullpen. So they're getting more arms back, but it's one of those situations where, are these guys going to be able to perform when they come back? If the Yankees make it into the playoffs, if they make it past the wild card game, are these guys going to be able to perform in the division series? Who knows? But we can't even look to that yet, because as I said earlier, the Yankees, Red Sox, and Toronto are like literally like this in the standings. It's like right there. Yeah. And as I said at the beginning of yesterday's show, there's no excuse for the Yankees to not sweep the Orioles. They have to sweep them. They have to win tonight. Jordan Montgomery, let's get into that. He is making the start tonight. And I said it on yesterday's show. I'm going to say it again. He needs to do better than he did in his last two outings. His last outing was 3 1/3 innings. That is not acceptable. The bullpen cannot handle a starter only going 3 1/3. And his previous start to that was only 4 2/3. So it seems he's hitting a bit of a wall. And I don't count last year as his comeback season. He was coming back from Tommy John, and last season was just an odd season. This is really his comeback season. And this happens when guys are coming back from Tommy John. They kind of tend to hit the wall. I'm just hoping that now he's going to walk around the wall and pitch fine tonight, but we'll see. Here's the preview. Or actually, it's more like this afternoon. It's a 5:05 game, just in case you didn't know, because they're having a concert at Camden Yards. The Yvette brothers are playing a concert, so that's why it's an earlier game. But let's preview this. So it's Jordan Montgomery. He's 5-6 on the year, not entirely his fault. He had that stretch of a month where the Yankees didn't score for him. He has a 3.71 ERA in 138 1/3 innings with 137 strikeouts. So that's not bad. Just, you know, as I said, the last two outings, not good. He lost to the Mets on September 10th, gave up 5 runs in 3 1/3 innings. But he did have 6 strikeouts. So that's another one of those odd lines. It's kind of like that strange line I always like to bring up of Gerrit Cole's, where he pitched against the Rays and gave up 7 runs, but also struck out 10. So it's kind of similar to that. Against Baltimore on September 4th, he pitched 4 2/3, gave up only 1 run on 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. And he lasted 6 innings against Oakland on the 29th. So if we can have a mix of the Oakland start, where he throws at least 6 innings, and then at least the Baltimore start, where he only gave up 1 earned run, or even the Orioles start, where he didn't give up an earned run at all, and the Mets start, where he strikes out 6. So if he can go 6 innings, not give up a run, and strike out 6, the Yankees will be golden. The Yankees will be facing Chris Ellis. He's 1-0 in 5 games with a 2.08 ERA. That's in 21 2/3 innings. He has 18 strikeouts. Let's see. He's pitched 17.2 innings in the last 4 games with a 2.55 ERA. He pitched 5 innings against Toronto, only gave up an earned run, but he walked 4, struck out 4. He pitched 5 innings against the Yankees back on September 4th. Didn't give up a run, only gave up 1 hit. Oh, that game. Walked 3, struck out 2. So the Yankees need to try and get hits against this guy. Because as I said last night, they didn't really do much against John Means. And John Means isn't a bad pitcher. He just, I don't know. The Yankees seem to have problems with them. So yeah, that's it. Tomorrow, we'll have a preview of the Cleveland series. The Yankees are playing Cleveland Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and then Texas comes to town for 3 games starting Monday. And those are all night games, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then they have an off day. They go to Boston for 3. They have another off day. They go to Toronto for 3. Okay, the Yankees' last 9 games are, that's make or break time. They're playing Boston for 3 in Boston, Toronto in 3 in Toronto. And after what Toronto did to them at home, that's a frightening proposition. And then they come home to face Tampa for the last 3 games of the season. So I was talking about how these 9 games, the 3 against Baltimore, 3 against Cleveland, 3 against Texas, were the most important, which they are. You need to win the majority of those games, so you're setting yourself up nicely for those 9 games against your division rivals. So hopefully the Yankees will get their act together, maybe, and, you know, do what they need to do against the teams that aren't good and do what we want them to do against the teams that are good. Does that make sense? I think that makes sense. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Betting on the Yankees doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. If you could be so kind, please rate this podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. So enjoy your Thursday. Hopefully the Yankees will win tonight against Baltimore, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.